This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
From SNY.com, John Harper joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. How are you, Harp?
Good, Jody. How you doing?
Yes.
Don't sleep on Joe Harris, by the way.
Yes. He had a big night. What did he make the other night? 6 threes in the first half of Nets game?
Yeah, he's got a smooth stroke, man. As a long-standing Nets fan, one of the few that are out there, I can tell you he can shoot it.
The few, the proud. The Nets are going to the playoffs, my friend. Enjoy yourself.
I'm back on the bandwagon with him.
he's sitting atop the field right now with 25. Damian Lillard with second with 17 points. All right, Jim Bowden earlier today said he's hearing that Harper and the Phillies are rounding third and heading for home. Chris Russell, talk show host in Washington yesterday, said he thinks Harper's getting close, but actually thought it was the Giants who were in the lead. Are we actually going to have one of the two big guys come off the board in the next 24, 48 hours?
Gee, let's hope so, Jody. I mean, but I don't, you know, listen, there have been a lot of stories out there this winter that somebody, one team or another is getting close, so until I see it, I won't believe it. I mean, I've thought all along the Phillies are definitely getting one of these guys. It's hard to promise your fans you're going to go spend stupid money and then not get one of those two guys. So Bryce Harper seems to make a lot of sense. Either one obviously makes sense, but there, you know, when there seems to be some momentum with Machado, maybe the Padres, and I still think the White Sox are in on him as much as they can be. So That would make sense, and that would change the equation in the NL East. That makes I would think that really gives the Phillies, makes them the off season winner anyway, and then puts them right in the mix with all the other teams that are. That NL East is going to be really interesting to watch.
Will, because the Mets are improved. The Nats' loss of Harper will compromise them, but they did get another big arm to go with their top two to begin with and got a couple other positional players who I think will help them. I agree. I think it's going to be a very good division. Are the Padres doing this right? They went out and got Hosmer last year and surprised people because they looked like they were in the midst of a rebuild, but they figured, well, no, he's going to be here for a while. We'll do other things while we've got Hosmer. If they add Machado, that's got to upgrade the pressure on them for the upcoming season. Are the Padres ready to compete in the West if they were to get a guy like Manny Machado?
I think they're a year away at least still. I mean, we know that farm system is really good, but is Tatis ready, the shortstop, some of these other guys, are they really ready to make an impact at the big league level? You know, if they do get Machado, man, they're committing an awful lot of salary to two guys in Machado and Hosmer. Usually you don't do that until you are ready to win, but they need to give their fans some hope, too, because they've been down for a while. So if you figure you can get those two guys in place, they both have long-term contracts and neither one is really that old, then let the kids grow into it. And so, yeah, I mean, in that sense, it makes sense. But, you know, if you're going to do that, you have to be willing to commit to a higher payroll than the Padres traditionally have had over the years, because at some point you're going to have to start paying other people as well if you're really going to win. They're going to need pitching and things like that. So I kind of like it because it'd be nice to see a team like that jump up into the mix. But we'll see. I mean, everybody loves Tatis. Everybody loves that farm system, but I don't think they're ready to win this year.
Yeah, I think they're still a bit away, but they do have a real good farm system, so they could, if they've got Machado and Hosmer going forward, they could have a couple nice foundation pieces and then add to it with their own talent that they're developing. They do have a real nice system. I've thought all along that part of the reason why we're into now past mid-February and getting close to late February, that the two biggest free agent items, tickets, have not come off the board, has been a war of agents, that both Lozano and Boris want the other guy to sign first and then have the playing field all to themselves, and that they're slow playing this process because They want to be the record setter. They want to be the big winner. They want to get the biggest deal. And they think that they'll get it if they can get the other guy out of the way first. You believe any of that?
I do. You're talking about, well, we know Boris, how big Boris's ego is. And Lozano, is, you know, he's up there as well. I thought all along that there's no way Boris was going to let his guy sign first because, I agree with you that get one guy out of the way, maybe there's more bidding for the other guy. But I just thought that he's going to make the other guy sign first because he's not going to get even if it's a dollar more, he's going to get more than Machado gets or that Lozano gets for his guy. But maybe we're to the point now where these guys just have to face the fact that, you know, that a little bit of that has become secondary. I mean, these guys got to be dying. I mean, yeah, spring training hasn't officially started for position players yet, but you know they want to know where they're going to be. They got to be putting pressure on, I would think, on the agents to get a deal done. Obviously, you know, Boris and Bryce Harper have talked about this for years. They wanted to get the record-setting contract. You know, at one time, people were talking about $400 million, and now, I mean, $300, maybe it's out there, maybe it's not. We don't know. It seems like now, I wonder if that Nationals offer was for real. It seems like maybe it benefited both sides at the time to put that out there that was the offer. But there's so much misinformation with this stuff at this time of year that you got to really wait till it unfolds. But I do agree with you. These are two of the biggest agents, and the ego is a big part of it.
We're talking to John Harper, SNY.com, here with us on CBS Sports Radio about the hot stove. Harper and Machado have gotten the yeoman's chunk of the attention, and, well, they should have because people have been waiting 2 years for them to become free. Ooh, 26-year-old guys, mega contracts, going to be so exciting, and we didn't get either one done. There's still two pretty damn good pitchers sitting out there that haven't signed. And I'm talking about that Dallas Keuchel as a starter and Craig Kimbrell, who's on a Hall of Fame track as a closer. And the rumors attached to them have been as few and far between as those with Harper and Machado that have teeth. Why have Keuchel and Kimbrell's markets been as barren as they have been?
I think it goes back to both of them looking for longer-term deals than teams want to pay. Keuchel in particular, you know, he's another Boris guy, and I'm sure he wants at least a 5-year deal. But you know, he's had some issues, neck or shoulder, depends who you believe. He's had some issues the last couple of years, and his stuff hasn't been as dominant. Not, you know, that precise stuff with the changeup and the two seamer, with the late movement that he had. It hasn't been quite the same the last couple of years, so. You know, if you're a team, you're going to be a little bit wary because obviously he doesn't have the big fastball. He's got to be a finesse guy. If he's not can't pitch with that type of precision, he's not going to be an elite starter. So that's why I think that's the hang up there. His teams probably don't want to go more than 3 years for him. And I think Boris and him, they haven't come off that 5-year idea. And same with Kimbrell. You know, he started out letting people know he wanted 6 years and, same thing. I mean, he's one of the best relievers in the game, but he had some issues in the postseason, whether it was tipping pitches, maybe. But he does tend to walk people at times in big situations. So I think there's a concern there. And I think it's just, you know, it comes back to the same old thing. The industry is valuing players differently, all by analytics, and not paying for what guys have already done, but trying to project what they'll do in the future. And it comes down to teams don't want these long-term deals and they're trying to stay away from them. And I think that's really the bottom line here.
Are you one of those who believe Kimbrell was compromised? Yes. If he thought he was getting 6 years, that was ridiculous. 5 was the most he was going to get. And now he's probably down to 4 or 3. So I think his eyes got a little big before free agency started, but I've heard, and you just kind of mentioned it, that he wasn't as good in October as maybe the Red Sox would have wanted, and that there's questions as to him in the big spot in the postseason. The Red Sox did win the World Series, right? And he had no blown saves in the postseason. Yeah, he walked some guys. Yeah, he put guys on. Yeah, he gave up a couple runs, but they ended up winning all of their games. Am I too simplistic here? Am I not analytical enough that the goal is to have the guy, when he comes in, get the last out, no matter how he gets around getting the last out, and he got all the last outs in the postseason for the Red Sox? I think his shortcomings in the playoffs are being tremendously overstated. How about you?
Well, yeah, one thing analytics can't change is wins still do matter. Maybe not for pitchers as much, but for teams they sure do. And, yeah, Kimbrel's elite, no doubt. And maybe there was something to him tipping pitches. We heard about that in the postseason. But when he's, you know, when he's on, nobody's better, or he's as good as anybody. I can't believe the Red Sox aren't going to find a way to bring him back, because their bullpen now is a lot of no-name guys. They lost Joe Kelly as well. And as it was, they counted on their starters. Without their starters coming in big spots in relief in the postseason, they didn't win a championship. They wouldn't have won a championship last year. So I think they've actually taken a big step back in rivalry with the Yankees. The Yankees have loaded up in the pen again. I think that gives the Yankees an edge. I don't see how the Red Sox can think that they can win that division if they don't add something to that bullpen, and obviously that Kimbrel is the guy. So maybe, hey, listen, Dombrowski waited. He worked for him last year. He waited and waited and waited on J.D. Martinez, got him pretty much at the price they wanted, and that guy turned out to be really a huge difference maker. So maybe he's laying in the weeds again on Kimbrel. He stated, though, that they're not going to pay big for a closer. So if they don't do that, I think they're taking a real chance, for sure.
Two of the better young pitchers in baseball, Aaron Nola with the Phillies and Luis Severino with the Yankees, both signed contract extensions this week, taking them through the arbitration process and in their first year into free agency. How much of that do you think has been affected by the agents and or the players going, you know, free agency isn't what it's cracked up to be? Harper and Machado still sitting on the sidelines. Kimbrel can't get a deal. Keuchel's not getting paid. We got a bird in the hand rather than two in the bush down the road. If this deal's rich enough and I can put a smile on my client's face that he knows he's never going to have to work another day in his life, let's do this now and not worry about making every last penny.
Yeah, it has to be a factor, you would think. I mean, these guys, they know what's going on. There's a lot of acrimony out there now. Can talk about a strike and everything else and need to change the system. So, yeah, these deals have happened in the past, getting guys early in arbitration years and into buying out a year or two of free agency. But to see a couple of these really elite pitchers do it, obviously they'd make more money if they're willing to go year by year. I think teams are sensing the opportunity to take advantage of this and say, hey, we'll give you this money, and knowing they're getting a discount by doing this. And for a guy who hasn't really made any big money, it's got to be attractive, you know, because especially for pitchers, you just never know when an injury could cost you a career or whatever, a couple of years in your career. And so I think a guy who hasn't made big money, $40 million, yeah, that's a lot of money, even though probably costing himself, you know, $20 to $25 million at least, if he by not going year to year, if he stayed healthy. So, yeah, I think it could become a trend. We'll see. Because I think it was the Severino contract. I forget, one of the two that they made sure and got more money up front going into 2022 in the occasion that there could be a strike. So I think teams and agents and players are even thinking about that now. So, yeah, I think we could see more of these.
Johnny, good stuff. Appreciate you coming on board. Thanks for the insight. We'll talk to you again soon, bud.
Okay, Jody, good talking to you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.